This is the Glen Allen School District 41 Board of Education regular meeting for September 9, 2013, here at the Central Services Office. Time is 7:32. I call the meeting to order. Mr. Kenwood, would you lead us in the recitation of the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. Stecker, roll call, please.
Mr. Escalante?
Here.
Mr. Kenwood?
Here.
Mr. Eldridge?
Here.
Mr. Pachinski?
Here.
Nelson?
Here.
Mr. Ellis?
Here.
Mr. Black?
Here. Tonight's a night to recognize our new staff. We have quite a few here, and I apologize for not meeting all of you, but I'm sure I will throughout the year. And I know Mrs. Campbell has a little something for us.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Black. I appreciate it. I'm very, very excited to introduce our new staff members to the board, and I know our new staff members are very grateful for the opportunity to meet you and to be welcomed to the district. I'm not sure if you're aware of all the information that we have about our new staff. We did have 18 retirements last year, so we have had a large turnover. This is the start of my eighth year in the position, and one of the biggest years of transition that we've had since I've started in this role. We have 5 new administrators. That's over 25% of our administrative team is new, including Dr. Borg sitting up there. We have 23 new teachers.
I'll go over there.
Yeah, I'm going to move over here. 23 new teachers, 9 of which are starting their teaching career with us here within District 41, which I think is great. And then 13 new support staff for a total of 41 new people so far. So again, a year of transition, but all great people that we're very excited to welcome. So I'm going to read off the names, and some of those individuals are here, and some are not able to make it tonight, but I'm just going to read the names of all the new staff. And new staff members, if I call your name, you're supposed to know the name. And then I can begin to maybe match a name with a face. I know it's going to be hard, though, so we try to use the name tag. But we're so grateful that you could be here tonight. Thank you. I'm going to start with our administrators, Dr. Paul Garten. Thank you. Mr. Dave Diley, principal at Hadley. Gina Crisman, who's the assistant principal at Hadley. Darlene Stone is our assistant principal at Lincoln. Megan Fuzora is our assistant principal at Forest Glen. Then we have for our new teachers, Chelsea Gray will be teaching at Hadley in the emotional support class, which is a special education classroom. Megan Jones will be teaching elementary foreign language at both Churchill and Forest Glen. Patty Jerzak will be teaching language arts at Hadley. Maggie Belpidio will be teaching in an early childhood structured special ed class at Forest Glen. Maricela Monares will be teaching third grade bilingual at Churchill. Rachel Lynn, ESL teacher at Churchill. Marianne Pang, ESL teacher at Forest Glen and at Hadley. Nancy Connolly is our new nurse at Forest Glen and at Churchill. Ian McCausland is our new PE teacher at Franklin. Jackie Calderon, second grade bilingual at Churchill. Christy Stearns, morning kindergarten at Churchill. Anna Nelson, kindergarten at Franklin and at Forest Glen. Leah DeGolia, psychologist at Hadley and at Franklin. Robin Bollinger, Hadley, math. Elizabeth or Betsy D'Angelo, language arts at Hadley. Michelle Bauer, math specialist at Franklin and at Forest Glen. Maria Drinnis, special ed resource at Franklin. Megan Jarvis, pre-K bilingual Spanish at Churchill. Caroline Joseph, science and language arts at Hadley. Nikki Guerrero, level 3 STEAM teacher at Churchill. Becky Van Dyke, first grade at Forest Glen. Kathleen Brennan, level 3 literacy at Lincoln. Molly Marshall, special ed resource at Forest Glen. Gabrielle Escobar Hernandez is the homeschool liaison at Churchill. Cindy Engelhardt is our new fiscal services coordinator here at CSO, and Nicole Mata is our new payroll clerk here at CSO. They started earlier this summer, but I wanted to just highlight their names also. Other new support staff include Amy Naples, reading assistant at Churchill, Katie Karn, special ed aide at Lincoln, Julie Steinhelber, reading assistant at Churchill, Rachel Carney, special ed aide at Forest Glen, Bob Devine is our new courier, Robin Lepaycheck is our reading assistant at Churchill, Zohil Morena, special ed aide at Forest Glen. Bao Tran Ngo is our ELL bilingual aide at Churchill. And Lori Urick, I know Lori's here. Our last person to read tonight is special ed aide at Lincoln. So, welcome.
Welcome.
I need to give thanks to my colleagues on the administrative team because it's been a lot of work to seek, to select, to check references, to really do the due diligence it takes to find good people for our district and for our kids. So thank you to my colleagues on the administrative team.
Absolutely. Well, welcome to all of you. What an incredible group of individuals that we were able to bring into Glen Ellyn. We're fortunate to have you. Really proud of the work that you're going to be doing on a daily basis with our students, and the work that you do makes a huge difference, as you know. So thank you for being part of our team and having that collective responsibility to ensure that all of our kids have any door they want open to them. Thanks for being rock stars.
Anyone else have anything they want to say?
Well, I want to ask a question. Who's new teachers? First year.
First year newbies. Who are the newbies?
Well, welcome aboard. It reminds me of there is a great trumpeter for the Chicago Symphony Orchestra. And he was there 50 years, and he said he was a failure because he never got promoted in 50 years because he was first chair in one of the best orchestras in the world for 50 years. I hope there'll be some of you who stay here that long. So, welcome aboard.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming, everyone. You're certainly welcome to stay for our meeting, but you're also.
All right, hold down the laughter. Hold down the laughter.
There aren't enough chairs.
Oh, shucks.
Oh, that's right. So I know we're all busy and we all have things to do and prepare for our students. So have a good night, and thanks for coming. Good to meet you all.
Thank you all.
Okay, presentations, reports, and initiatives. Foreign language at the elementary school and dual language updates.
Yes.
Katie's here to...
Katie, Karen, do you want to do a little introductory?
Yeah, sorry. I'll just kind of...
Yeah.
The board report had just kind of a reminder of the two programs that we are into year one of implementation for, this both dual language and this class. And last spring we talked about coming back to you in the fall to kind of highlight where we're at. There was work that occurred this summer, Katie and two different subgroup committees that worked on both the dual language and the PLUS program. And so Katie's really going to just kind of share some highlights and kind of the excitement of those two new programs. So we're off to a great start. I'm going to turn you over to Katie.
Hi. I actually put a slideshow together right there, so you'll see that running over there. And to start, as you recall, we have one overarching mission statement within our district for both foreign language and for dual language. And it's really to get our kids ready for our global society. Our vision within the program is for our students to gain Spanish language proficiency. As you can see here, our goals for the program are that our students participate in a foreign language during the optimal years, which is under the age of 10, as well as be able to enter middle school much above the beginning levels in Spanish when they enter the middle school years. Here are some of the examples of what our students are learning in August and September. As you can see, these are really foundational skills that they're learning, things such as colors, the weather, their name, how to introduce themselves. And this will help them to connect to the thematic units that they're going to be learning later that will connect to some of the gen ed curriculum within the first grade. Here are some examples from each of the schools and the buildings of what kids were learning in the first week.
Lunes, martes, miércoles, jueves, viernes, sábado. ¿Podemos cantar la canción? Sí. Ok, vamos a ver. Siete días. Siete días en la semana, domingo y lunes, martes, miércoles, jueves y viernes, y el sábado, siete días. Excelente, niños y niñas. bandera, calendario, e escuela, forma, e color, e estrellita, e color, e blanco. Excelente. Sí. Es blanco. Blanco. Sí. Muchos colores. ¿Qué color es? Repita. ¿Qué color es? Es verde. Repita. Es verde. Muy bien.
This is all in the first week.
Okay. Agosto y en inglés. ¿Se recuerdan?
August.
Calendario. Calendar. Son colgados. Agosto. August. Son colgados. ¿Recuerdan? Minuto. Y minuto. Como el reloj. Que solo tenemos un minuto. Algo en el reloj. Minuto. Minuto. En inglés, ¿qué puede ser? Solo tenemos un minuto. Minuto. Minute. Calendario. Calendar. Agosto, August, minuto, minute.
So our students will be assessed in three areas which connect to the four domains of listening, speaking, reading, and writing, as well as you'll see there are report card standards which connect to the foreign language standards that they have here in the United States. We've also started the dual language kindergarten this year. And our vision for our dual language program is for our kids to be bilingual, biliterate, and bicultural. And the goals of our program are for the kids to receive, reach a high academic achievement in both English and Spanish in all of the content areas, to engage in a rigorous curriculum that's aligned to the Common Core, as well as cultivate a lifelong love of just learning Spanish and learning about another culture. Here are some examples of what our students were doing on day one and day two within the dual language program.
You will love school once you start. You will make new friends. You will play with new toys.
And you'll notice here that our assessment plan is the same for dual language as it is in our Gen Ed classrooms, except our students will be assessed in both English and Spanish. And then we have some parent feedback that you can see here. And this was from their experience in the first week.
My son, Jose, is in the AM kindergarten classroom. He has had a wonderful week. He is loving the class. He's loving the Spanish days, loving the English days. He is learning Spanish this week, coming back every night, repeating what he's learned, rolling his R's, and wanting to practice. So my husband and I couldn't be more thrilled with this week. We've met some wonderful parents waiting to bring our children to range school and different out of school, and they equally are really happy with the way their children are settling into this class with Mrs. Brewster, who seems so warm and welcoming and a wonderful ambassador, I'm sure, for this class to continue that tradition.
Hola, mi nombre es Isabel Morales, soy mamá de Valeria Marínez, estudio ahora en el kinder, y la experiencia que he tenido con ella de tener los dos idiomas y al mismo tiempo en la clase es buena. Yo veo que a ella le gusta mucho tener los dos idiomas. Bueno, un día tiene español, otro día tiene inglés, pero yo creo que a ella le ha gustado mucho. Pues yo he avanzado bastante con el inglés, y yo pienso que es bueno que desde pequeños a los niños les guste uno bonito. Más que nada, pues nosotros, nuestra cultura latina, los hispanos, que no pierda, es importante que no pierdan nuestras raíces, que es el español. Entonces, pues me parece perfecto y muy buena idea de las maestras y de todos los que están colaborando en esto. Gracias.
Hi, my name is Karina Winsey, and our daughter Portia is in the PM dual language program here at Churchill. And we cannot be more excited about the opportunity to be here at Churchill in dual language. It's going to be an amazing program. It's only been 1 week, but so far we've decided that we really love it. And mostly because our daughter comes home every day and says she wants to go back the next day, which makes us very happy. And I'm going to a few of the teachers who said Portia's doing very well with her language skills and her pronunciation. They're just very proud. So we cannot be more thrilled to have her explore the language and learn more and push herself and be part of sort of a global community, which we wanted to extend in this program. So we're looking forward to the rest of the program and looking forward to Portia's growth in the program.
There's Portia.
My daughter's name is Jim Miyazaki, and she's in the PM program, kindergarten, with the dual language, and we couldn't have asked for a better situation. She's so happy to go to school every single day, and when I pick her up, she wants to come next day. She's really welcome. And she's so excited about learning Spanish. Mrs. Booster, she's doing such a great job, and everyone here, we're just so thrilled. Even the other day when she started speaking and something, I didn't know what she was saying, I asked her and she said, I just want to speak Spanish. It's so exciting. And I don't even know some of the words she's trying to say, but I'm just so encouraged and just love this program. Thank you so very much.
That's our update from dual language and from foreign language. Does anybody have any questions?
Any questions for Katie or for
I got one. On the, you said the standards for foreign language.
Mm-hmm.
So do those exist at the state level, federal level for kindergarten, first, second, or how does that work?
They have them at the state level. We have chosen 3 of the 5 standards. And the reason why is the other 2, one makes comparisons, which we've integrated within gains and understanding of culture. And the other one is participates in the community and around the world using the language, and we don't really have the ability to assess that at this point. So we have not used those.
Okay, so these are state standards.
Yeah.
And then are we adding our flavor to them?
We do. We have our own standards that we use to connect to those. Yes.
Okay. Have you had any parents, it's only the second week, but come to you, and I'm thinking about the last parent that was on there, asking for some help themselves to help reinforce it at home? Is there some tools?
Not yet. I know that there's a lot of interest in them being part of our bilingual parent advisory committee, and so I'm sure a lot of that information will come out there where they kind of have the ability to give feedback. We've also put on the District 41 website resources for parents, as well as YouTube clips of the alphabet, numbers, colors, shapes, all of those types of things that they could work on at home with their kids. So far, not yet. I think everybody's still okay with what the kids are learning, and they're able to keep up.
How many students are in the dual language program now?
There's a total of 42. 22 in the AM and 20 in the PM. There's in the AM, there's 12 English speakers and 10 Spanish speakers, and there's a mix that they come from. There's one from Franklin, four from Forest Glen, three from Lincoln in the morning. And then in the afternoon, there's 12 English speakers and 8 Spanish speakers, and there's 2 from Lincoln, 4 from Forest Glen, and 1 from Franklin. So they come from within our whole district.
And if a student comes into the district brand new, has moved here, and the parent has an interest in putting them in to this program, if it's mid-year, what is there opportunity for that, or the way it's structured?
Are they a Spanish speaker or an English speaker? An English speaker, probably not, because they would have missed a lot of the foundational pieces that they need to be successful in Spanish. A Spanish speaker, we could really integrate at any time because they already have the foundational skills in Spanish.
Thanks for getting the feedback, too. Okay. It's great to see.
They're very excited. Very happy.
Any other questions or comments? I just want to add, my daughter's a first grader at Lincoln, and I've told Katie this before a couple times, I think, and she just loves the program, and she comes home and she sings that
Days of the Week.
Days of the Week.
Days of the Week.
I got it. But yeah, I just want to say that I was always a proponent of this program, and I'm so glad that it's going so well, and can't wait for the best results. So, thank you.
Thank you. I just add, Katie is such a great professional. I've, again, only been here a very short time, but we're so fortunate to have a person like Katie overseeing the implementation of this, the passion she has, the dedication, and the energy she brings on a daily basis is truly contagious and inspiring. So I appreciate all the work that you put into this, and it's already making a difference. So thank you for your leadership.
Thank you.
Glad we snuck you out of
87. I know. Nice job.
Thank you.
Thanks, Katie.
Thanks, Katie.
Okay, public participation. Are there any members of the public that would like to address the board? Okay. I'd like to remind members of the audience that while the board provides opportunities for visitors to express their opinions at specified times in the agenda, speakers should identify themselves, complete a public participation form, and limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. Personal complaints about staff members, students, or other members of the D41 community must be handled privately with the appropriate district representative, and critical comments about a specific person or persons are not allowed in open session. Not allowed in open session. Profanity, interruption, and or other interference with the orderly conduct of the meeting are not permitted. All questions raised will be forwarded to the appropriate D41 staff member for a response if a response is warranted. Mrs. Stecker, who's the first, please? Okay, Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff Cooper, Glen Ellyn. First, I'd like to thank Dr. Gordon for his courtesy last week. We didn't agree on everything, but I'll hold out hope that you'll come around. Now, the realities of the board. At the last meeting after I left, there was a voice I heard on the audio grousing about FOIA issues. What I heard was the following. One comment was, the greater the clarity, the more the questions. Tisk, tisk. Also, that the staff needed to fulfill FOIA, the staff needed time to fulfill FOIA requests in the last 2.5 to 3 months was more than normal, sometimes an inordinate amount of time spent on a request, and that is a taxpayer issue as well, and how that translates into dollars. What is she saying? That we should have less transparency? That we shouldn't ask questions? We shouldn't hold people accountable? That the board shouldn't seek fiscal responsibility, and that it should ignore, avoid, and stymie those citizens that seek to hold it accountable. It was shameful what I heard. As shameful as the current board president not answering my emails on how we cut an equal amount out of the current budget to zero out the new assistant principal's compensation.
Jeff, I just mentioned critical comments about specific people.
And if you answer my emails, I wouldn't have to.
Jeff, we're not going to accept this anymore. critical comments about specific people will not be allowed.
If you want to stymie public participation, then I think you're going to have to go a lot higher than me in trying to do that. Because this is an open meeting, and I've not named anyone, and that's what you said. Don't name people, and I didn't do that. And I'm making comments about what was made to me without me being here last meeting. And now to you, who haven't... You've ignored my emails for at least a month.
You're making comments to me right now.
If you'd like me to go back... Well, you interrupted me, Sam.
I specifically mentioned
names, I won't use names.
Please don't.
Okay? Yes. But I also deserve the courtesy of being answered. And you've ignored me for over a month.
If you want to argue with me and eat up your time, that's great. You got 45 seconds left.
You took up some of my time, so I do, I've got more than 45
seconds.
You've
got 40 seconds now.
How we cut an equal amount out of the current budget to zero out the new assistant principal's compensation. That is, if you actually did that. Or did you play games and transfer money from one existing account to another and not cut one penny from the budget? Or don't you know what happened? Lastly, I brought up on the forum about a very troubling charge from our assistant superintendent of finance, no name mentioned. I know that you saw it because you posted on that thread a little bit later. He stayed at the Renaissance Chamber back in May for two nights at a
That's time, Jeff. I'm going to have to cut you off there. That's very personal, very specific. If you want to address these issues, I ask that you address them in private with the appropriate...
I've emailed you and you haven't answered me.
I'm not going to argue with you, sir. You're done.
There's no argument.
Mrs. Stecker, who's next, please?
Okay, so I've set the meeting back by half an hour by my 3 minutes. Sam, you either got to answer me.
Mr. Cooper?
You've either got to answer me at some point. You want to answer me in
I'm
private?
I'm not going to answer you now.
That's fine. Then
the question has been
me
answered.
In private.
I'm not going to argue with you.
I asked you a question. You're ignoring
me. I'm not going to argue with you.
Are you going to answer me in private?
Action items.
You're a coward, Sam.
Is there anyone else?
Got one more
coward.
Any more public participation?
Damn coward.
I heard that, Jeff.
I'm glad you did.
You violated two things already tonight after I specifically laid them out for you.
I gave you a month to answer me. You didn't answer me.
Have a good night.
Okay, you too.
Thank you.
Good evening. I just want to share a little bit of this first 2 weeks of school. And last year we raised some concerns about the new initiative. And one of the things that I wanted to share with you tonight is about the concerns that we had some last year about transition time being lost, instructional time being lost due to transition. And
I'm sorry, did you say transition time?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry, I just didn't hear.
Yeah,
okay.
Instructional time lost because of the transitions that students need to go live in the morning and afternoon. And in last year, our daughter's teachers should tell us, we're teaching up to 3:25. When the bell rings, we stop and we start collecting things in. And we would be waiting probably 10, 15 minutes outside for our kids. And I think that makes sense. Currently, at 3:25, the bell rings and everyone is basically coming out of the door. I talk to my daughter and she tells me that they get ready about 3:20 the latest, but if they're ready and if the bell hasn't rang, they're still inside waiting in the hallways. And that's a concern that we have. I know that we have a lot of stuff that we need to teach them. The time might not be, we might be sacrificing some of that time because of the transition, the model we have. That's something I want to share. The second piece I want to share is the portables in the back of Lincoln. We know that we had some issues. They were supposed to be cleared, but I have a daughter with allergies and asthma, and we have great concerns about the safety of the mobiles. We would like to see if it's possible to have mold assessment to see if it's safe for students, and also to keep in mind what is the long-term plan for those mobiles. When can we make sure that they will be gone type of thing? Because I know that this year it's kind of like a last-minute change. They're not being used full-time, but the original plan was to have them used full-time. And students with some health issues, like my daughter, might be impacted by that. So you can keep that in mind as you're planning your facilities. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else to face my wrath? I apologize for that outbreak, but I felt it was necessary to do. Okay, action items. Consent agenda. Are there any items board members would like removed from the consent agenda to be considered separately? Okay, hearing none, may I have a motion to approve the reports and recommendations contained in the consent agenda, which includes the human resources personnel report, including the employment recommendation, leaves of absence, resignations, the finance, facilities, and operations report, and other matters, including the approval of board meeting minutes, the August 26, 2013 regular board meeting minutes, the August 26, 2013 closed session meeting minutes, the September 3rd, 2013 special meeting minutes, the September 3rd, 2013 special meeting closed session minutes, the application for recognition of schools, the semi-annual review of closed session minutes, and the destruction of closed session audio recordings. May I have a motion, please?
Second.
Motion by Mr. Ellis, second by Mr. Elger. Roll call, please, Mrs. Stark.
Mr. Campbell?
Yes.
Mr. Elger?
Yes.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr. Allison?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Blanche?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes. There are no superintendent's recommendations on the agenda this evening, so we'll go right to the superintendent's report.
I just have a couple updates. One regarding the assistant principal funding that was mentioned a few moments ago. And I spoke with Mr. Cooper on Friday. He knows from me where that funding came from.
So you explained to him the funding of the...
Yes, I spent an hour and 45 minutes with Mr. Cooper on Friday afternoon. That was one of those discussion items.
Sorry, Paul, I have to interrupt you and to state for the meeting minutes here that Mr. Cooper is no longer at the meeting and left the room.
Correct.
Sorry.
No, yeah, so we spent close to 2 hours. Julie was with me during that time. And it was a pleasant conversation, but I did address that issue. The allocation of funds, one of the APs were paid through a former position at the CSO, an assistant director of special education. That position was cut. The funding for that position was allocated to pay for one of the assistant principals. And let me backtrack for a second. One of the amendments that the board made before approving the hiring of the assistant principals was to ensure that there was no cost increase to the budget. So if the budget were $50 million, the budget after the hiring of the assistant principals would be $50 million. And as I've gone through the notes, I was not here, but I had confirmation from board members, and the board member who actually brought the amendment to the table said that's exactly what he was looking for from that amendment. So I apologize for not putting that out there first. So that first assistant principal, please.
Sorry. I just want to make sure, is that what everyone believes we agreed to in that vote? What Paul just stated?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So there'd be no increase to the budget.
I think Patrick's point was revenue neutral or cost neutral was the terminology. And I think we accomplished.
Yeah, I listened to the tape of the meeting this afternoon, and it was, I think the quote was zero sum gain. Mm-hmm. And so I think that we've certainly met that the language of the amended recommendation. So,
and that was our intent.
It was
to do that, and that's what we talked about.
That I completely agree with that.
So one of the assistant principals was paid through that. Assistant Director for Student Support Services. The other funding, roughly $100,000, was paid through a contingency fund for high class sizes for the fall for students who may need an additional para or any other situation like that. We made the decision, the administration made the decision, that that's where the additional funding would come from to pay for the second assistant principal. Mm-hmm. So the funding met the amendment from my vantage point. Again, I wasn't here, but as I read the minutes and spoke with a number of board members, I really felt like we the administration at the time, met the outcome the board set for them. So that's where the funding came from. Second piece of information. At the next board meeting, you'll be getting an enrollment update. Lori, myself, and a number of others have been working to ensure that we give you the most accurate enrollment numbers possible. And really, especially with the level three, so you can see how many students are in each classroom. So we've spent a lot of time making sure that that report comes to you and you're able to read it and the community is able to read it very efficiently. We have one more meeting coming up to finalize that. You have a document now.
And is this accurate? Or
yes. To date, I mean, but that's always changing.
Can I ask
as Lori knows.
A quick clarification.
Please.
So we have our AEC numbers on the right hand
side,
and then a total for the school, and then a date as of 8/29. With it says 12, it should be 13.
Yes.
But what's the difference between total and then the date? Is the total the most current, and then the date is? Because I remember on our old report we would have.
That was the last reporting date, so that's why it needs to be updated.
Okay.
That's why we wanted to give you the version of what it's going to look like. We felt like that was really important for you to have that, and then we're constantly updating it, but we'll have that to you as well at the next board meeting.
Thank you.
Okay.
So from the last reporting date to the current, there was a difference of 46.
Yes.
Okay.
Does that work?
Thank you.
All right.
In italics, it says here our dual language section, so we can see.
Yes. Yeah. We were really trying to pull everything out so you could see exactly where our students were at and how many students teachers had on their caseload, be it a level three teacher, being with the teacher specialization, really trying to break that down.
Mm-hmm. Paul, when you present this next time, can you trend it for us 5-7 years?
I can.
Can you do that?
We will ask. We'll ask Gail and the team to look at from the class size.
Let's not make it.
You just want to trend it at the total.
What was the last, 2012.
Okay.
Not points.
Not a level.
Not.
No.
Okay.
We don't need it for
not every month over month.
No.
Did yearly.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Well, no, I was just saying if you have to translate level to.
That's just our overall student level. So we can
thank
say,
you.
Okay, still turn it up. Turn it down.
I was going to say, seeing how it aligns with the Florida.
It is important to break it down at some level, K through 5.
By school or
grade level.
I mean, you have seen. I mean, I analyze this because I love numbers, I guess, but I look at the enrollment report. I do. And you've seen a decrease in the K through 5, 37 students. However, 42 of that is made up in two kindergarten, less kindergarten classes. One at Churchill, if I got that right. No, excuse me. One at Forest Glen and one at Ben Franklin. So that means overall, 1 through 5 increased from last year.
So both are nice little. And the assumptions are, fine. And there's this bubble that's moving through. You see, we've gone through, we're staying flat, but 5, 6, and 7 is going up, and 1, 2, 3 is going,
Well, and you just hit something, I think, annually. I know that John will remember this too, but typically every August we're talking, where's the bubble this year, if there is one? And it's sometimes, in the kindergarten, or we have this pop in August where we have to add a section or whatever. So it can.
Yeah.
It can shift. I don't know that we felt a huge bubble as of late, but just
From reading it, one of my questions comes because kindergarten is new for people. Is there all of a sudden more kindergartners added after a couple months, or is that unusual or usual?
Probably to add a whole kindergarten, it's going to be that's a lot.
So what we're seeing is 42 less kindergartners this year than last year. And that's a significant.
And remember, it's 8/29, so it'll be interesting when we update that with current numbers where we're at. But full-day kindergarten makes a difference because it's interesting after that full-day kindergarten, parents come back to us in first grade.
Well, that's
so you do see some trends like that because parents like full-day kindergarten. Mm-hmm. If we had the space, that would be something we would want to address.
You look at the two schools who have the less kindergarten. They probably have more options to send their kids to full-day kindergarten.
Yep.
So if we provided full-day kindergarten, we may actually have an increase in population.
Right. And I think it's just another bullet point to, the whole facilities conversation. We talked a little bit about finance, but again, let's refresh population data. It's another bullet when we talk about facilities. Are we flat? Are we going up?
Yep.
There's a bubble in kindergarten, whatever. So
it helps.
That's good. No, I appreciate it. I mean, we'll bring those back to you. So a nice lead into facilities. Done a lot of thinking, a lot of reflecting. I've had a lot of conversations on facilities, a lot of conversations with parents, a lot of conversation with board members, principals, teachers, run the gamut of the conversations regarding facilities. And I've also had a lot of reflection. As I came in July, you know, you kind of take things where they're at and you pick them up and you run with them, as I've done. But even as I was running with I'll label it the Innovation Lab idea, I had some questions that I had to answer for myself. And I was really doing a lot of that internally until one day I think I just blurted it out to my cabinet team saying, what are we doing here? At the end of the day, what are the priorities we're trying to accomplish? As you've listened to the board much longer than I have, as you've listened to community members much longer than I have, where do we think the priority is revolving around this? Is it revolving around innovation labs that are repurposing current space for the most part? It wasn't really about adding new space. It was really about repurposing space. Was it about portables? What is it? And as my team really took a moment after looking at me with some big eyes and saying, really? Right now? We're going to do this? We really started talking about the priority is around these portables. What's occurring in our portables? Then we started talking about the long-range plan. Well, what is the long-range plan that we can really sink our teeth into that makes a sense, that makes sense for this district, our students, and our community long-term? So I came back to Bob and to the architect firm and said, I want to look at a different plan. I want to look at a plan that is going to reduce our reliance on portables. Not eliminate them. Not eliminate them. We only have $10 million in fund balance. You're not going to eliminate them all. But bring me a plan that would add new space. And that was the other key feature to this. I don't want repurposed space. I want new space for the community. And another caveat was new space that no matter what we did to the building long term, that this space would be sustained over time, and that they would have those still that flexible classroom space, that ability to teach whatever it is and whomever is assigned to. It is their homeroom classroom. So as FGM and others looked at me, said, all right, we'll go back to the drawing board. They came back and said, I think we can do this. And actually, with the plan, they feel like we can add 14 new flexible classroom spaces in the district. 4 classrooms per school. New spaces, not repurposing. New spaces. And again, they would be flexible classroom spaces. That's still one of the caveats to this, is that our students have opportunities for presentation areas, to be able to expand into larger areas, to work within, if Dean and I were teachers and we wanted to break down the walls and be able to bring our students together, that we still have that opportunity. And they were able to think through that and say, yeah, we can. We can bring 14 new classrooms, which would be 4 additional classrooms at Churchill, Forest Glen, and Franklin, 2 additional classrooms at Lincoln. We would still have to repurpose that main office space at Lincoln because of just the nature of it, how it was built. It's eating up a lot of good space. And one of the things that you guys know much better than I do about Lincoln already really sprawls on their property from end to end, from one neighbor on the east side, and there's a little bit of room to the west, but not a whole lot. You really are running up to the sidewalk in this street pretty quickly. So we really felt like 2 there with the additional repurposing of that office space. So it would reduce our reliance on 14 to 16 portables, as opposed to the other plan where it was 2 to 4. And 4 was squinting and kind of turning your head a little bit. We were able to get 4. We would reduce our reliance on 14 to 16 portables, which I think is something as we did our work in closed session around the board evaluation a week ago when I heard from board members about their legacy from just, well, we've got to move to portables are an issue. They've been an issue. They've been an issue for a long time here, and can we tackle this? So that would be phase one. Because the other part of the problem was I was struggling with the long-term view. Where are we going? Where are we going to go after innovation labs? What's that next step? And we still have kindergarten, preschool. We still have a lot of issues we've got to tackle in this district. So that would be phase one. I've got to credit Joe for really pushing us on trying to find some alternative funding sources. Bob's done a nice job of going out and looking for that. And the board's going to have some really in-depth conversations about what is an alternative funding source. But there is a limited bond capability that would not increase the taxes nor extend a tax. Not saying, you know, our bonds come up in 17, so it's not going to be a new tax, we're just going to extend it. That's not what I'm talking about. It would be very, the best way to put it, it would be like a loan. We would have to say within our existing budget, how would we pay this amount each year to offset that cost if we wanted additional funding. If the board did not feel like they wanted to spend all their fund balance, or if they wanted to go, just looking at it a little bit differently. So we have that option out there, and we'll be bringing that to you. We'll be bringing all of this information to Finance Committee and for board discussion. Phase two would be around one new elementary, wherever that new elementary may be. It could be a boundaried elementary. Boundaried elementary, when you have one, you would have to re-boundary many people in the community. The other option is a magnet school. And I know that's something new to this area. Not a whole lot of districts around here use magnets. They're more popular in larger districts and sometimes more urban districts. But magnet schools are still a district school. It's not a charter. It's a school that you go out, you survey the community. What does this community get excited about? And again, this is not what it would be. You know, it's like a GT or an arts program or whatever it is. The community, the district really decides what would bring in 400, 450 students on a regular basis. The nice piece about that is you're not reboundering. Parents are choosing in, and they want to be a part of that school. You know, a dual language school. You have a lot of options to look at. So you have those two pieces to look at. So that would be phase two. That piece would have to be a referendum. You would be looking at a $30 to $35 million referendum on that. The next phase, phase three, would be about, with that additional, that $30 to $35 million, some of that money would go back into building those innovation labs within the schools and repurposing space within those schools. Because once you have that elementary, you're now able to right-size the schools. And remember, you've added on space. You've added on space to these schools. You've reduced the enrollment numbers. Why I like this plan is because now you can start thinking about offering full-day kindergarten for the first time. And preschool, because you brought down the numbers about 110 students per school. So people are saying, well, now you've made these schools too small. No, we've thought long term, because in my belief, if we get kids earlier, we change their lives forever. I don't care where a kid's at on the academic trajectory. The earlier we get kids and the longer we have them with us, we can make a difference in their lives. So this is not just a plan for portables, but it attacks the portables issue. It's not just a plan for kindergarten, but it attacks that issue. And it's not a plan just for a new elementary, but it's bringing them all together to say, at the end of the day, if we did these pieces, we would eliminate all portables. We would have full-day kindergarten and possibly preschool program in our neighborhood schools. Something that I don't know if we really would have ever had that opportunity. The other piece is you have a $10 million of it would be through the fund balances that we would be able to start the work now and start going after the portables. Portables that do frustrate some members of the community. And I'm not saying it's across the community. When you figure we have 80% of the community whose children are not part of our district. But for those others, it is an impact. So it's a plan that I know is a shift. And I know people can beat me up about the shift because of my thinking has evolved over time. But in my heart of hearts, this is where I feel like we're in a really good position to make a significant difference tomorrow and long term for our students, for our community, at a very significantly reduced referendum than the referendum we were previously considering. A referendum that I believe would have a decent chance of passing in this community with people getting behind it because they see that the district has put their money forward, what little we had to start taking care of some of these problems, but also that the $35 million is not 80, is not 90, it's not $110 million, which is hard to swallow on any front. But I really feel like it's a reasonable amount. Within those, because I have heard, and I've heard it not only tonight but in previous meetings, that you know, content instruction should drive these facilities. I still believe you have that ability to teach within these flexible classroom spaces the way that we see 21st century teaching occurring. That kids have small groups, collaborative groups, large groups, presentation areas. Those are still key fixtures. I don't want those to go away. But when you have limited funds, how do you get your biggest bang for your buck? And that, to me, is when I started really getting centered on it. And then when my team started saying, no, this one feels good. And then when we brought it to principals, and principals were like, this makes sense. I can get behind this. I can champion this cause because it makes sense on a daily basis, and it impacts my school. Other than that shocker, I have nothing else for you.
Any questions for Paul based on his...
I doubt there's any.
I do want to be respectful of those boards that members that get tired need a rest and want to end early. So should we take a break or is everybody going to keep going?
I think we're okay. Keep going.
Thank you, John.
Okay, well, Paul, that's a lot to think about.
Yes.
I do have some questions.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Ben.
So let's talk again. A lot of detail that we've got to go through. So phase one, phase two, phase three.
Mm-hmm.
Let's spitball here. Phase one, $10 million out of our budget, $10 million out of the board's budget, not going out to the community or anything like that.
So
the
part two,
it's
the community's money.
Yeah, it's community. I'm not going to cartoon it, but it's go today, whatever. Phase one's completed in your timeline, 2014, 2015?
We still think we can do it within 2 years, that we would have construction, possibly Lincoln, and possibly Franklin next summer. Because what made Franklin, and let me correct myself, Lincoln would be the two additional classrooms, not the office redesign. That's still a very technical but needed redesign. But that would start next summer if possible.
So next school year, we could reduce our portables, I'm just going to say by half, and then following fall, the other
would be 2 years.
2 years. Yeah, two years.
To reduce the portables.
2 years to reduce 14 to 16 portables.
Well, that's, I mean,
yeah.
Half of
that. Thank you.
Quarter.
Thank you.
And then the second phase, school, magnet school, that's going to be based on community involvement, where we want to go, plots, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, referendum, a lot of work.
Kind of an open-end kind of thing.
That's more of that big picture, but really setting that vision for the community, because I think there are some in the community who are really struggling with, well, I get phase one, but where are you going next? How does this connect to anything else that you're doing? So I really feel like we had to start talking about that next phase.
Based on the meeting that you guys had, that special meeting, phase two was a new school. It's like this phase two.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, that was part
of it. Yeah, I'm not coming up with anything brand new on
that's
my
own. That's what I heard. I just... Yeah.
No, I appreciate you bringing that up, John. Okay.
John, the meeting you're referring to is the workshop we had over the summer?
Yeah.
In July.
Or phase two. It seemed like it was STEM Labs. Phase two was build a new school, which mm-hmm. then eliminates the reduction of the portals.
Correct.
So that's my last question. STEAM, a lot of conversations, a lot of energy over the last mm-hmm. 18 months. Now are we calling STEAM and STEM flexible classrooms, or we're leaving it to the administration to decide how to implement that program?
The program is still going to be implemented. They're going to be flexible classrooms, spaces. That's the vision I'm trying to give the architects and that we're trying to give the architects, that whomever's teaching in there, if it's a science teacher, if it's an English, if it's a literacy teacher, they're able to do what they need with their kids. Because I still believe 21st century learning is about thinking and giving kids opportunities to think differently and solve problems. So I want to ensure that they have those spaces to do that within. Would it be great? And as I talked about, I would love for every school eventually to have innovation labs. I really would. But is it needed right now on a priority list? Would it be number one? And I had to say, in my estimation, in listening to board members, again, I don't believe I'm just going off on some random thing here, especially with the legacy comments where 4 to 5 board members are saying, this is still a priority to me. So, yeah, we would still keep going down. I am not saying stop STEAM instruction. That is important.
But it sounds like you're reversing the, you know, space for STEAM with reducing the need for some quarter, for half the quarters. You've switched the
priority.
You've switched those priorities.
Correct. I think that's a great way of putting it.
And in the meantime, the STEAM labs will be more mobile in nature?
I think, you know, it really depends on each principal and how they're going to be able to use their current space. Yes, I think that's the best way for me to articulate that. For me to tell everybody how they're going to use their space from this chair is probably not appropriate.
Go ahead.
I'm
sorry.
No, please go.
Quick question. You know, you talked about eliminating the portables, you know, with your phase one and your phase two. And I believe that would eliminate the portables at the grammar schools.
Correct.
But not mm-hmm. Hadley. So maybe that's your phase three.
And I think that's a piece the board has to take on. How large of a referendum? Hadley's big. Hadley, just because of the nature of it, mm-hmm. what needs to occur. If the board gives us direction to really be thinking about Hadley and to reduce all the portables at Hadley, yeah, this, you're correct. This is an elementary portable solution. It is not a K-8 solution yet. But if the board directs us and it feels like there's energy to be able to handle the Hadley piece, I'm there with you. I'm there with you. I just wonder about the numbers.
I would be careful with that. I would say this is an elementary-driven conversation, but when we get into phase two, when we say, let's build a new, you said elementary, mm-hmm. or magnet school, I think those conversations say, okay, do we add full-time kindergarten, or do we say redistrict and we bring some, you know, we take the elementaries up one grade and we make Hadley, you know, one, and then we get rid of, so... let's not take anything off the table.
I'm comfortable with that.
We're starting this conversation to do all portables for elementary, but in phase two, we can have that conversation. It says, okay.
Yeah. The purpose of my superintendent report tonight was truly to bring it out to the public, bring it out to you, to start the conversations here, start the conversations in the community, and to begin that feedback process that you guys will be a part of, that three-step process.
I would just pick up on some of what Drew was saying, and that is there's just, I guess, two main reactions. One is I still think it's important to me as a board member and all of the conversations we've had, and not just even over the last 18 months, but really thinking about and hearing from the elementaries, but also Hadley, the intention around science, and that that's been a curriculum that has repeatedly come up and the need to really focus on that. And it's a delicate balance between elementary and junior high because, and we just said this, and Patrick, you said this, it's a little bit elementary-driven phase one. So I would ask that we have a, you know, have a parallel conversation with Hadley and be keeping that in the mix, you know, even as we talk about this phase one, what might that mean? That's just really important to me. And then the other, I guess the other piece of this is that at our board workshop in July, there were several of us in the, and at our evaluation meeting too, that talked about, and that this was my language, that this is not, it never was, and it isn't an all or nothing, and it can't just be one thing, but the, you know, the desire would be, as much as we can, to reduce our reliance on mobile classrooms. It just has, it has to be done. And, but I also, again, look at Hadley as not wanting to be left out of a holistic conversation around this. But from a curriculum standpoint, from a, you know, alignment of programs, drive facilities, and, you know, and ultimately it's up to the public to decide what they, you know, want that to be. But I think we all know this, our junior high is a big school. We have a brand new assistant principal who came from a much larger district, Oswego, at 23 schools. The middle school she was assistant principal at was smaller than the elementaries. So the feeders coming into that had students going to 600-plus elementaries and 450, 500 junior high. And from a teaching and learning standpoint, adolescent standpoint, we know we have school win in school over there in terms of our 6th, 7th, and 8th grade. So I would simply ask, no answers, just,
nope.
You know, that science piece is really critical to me. Mm-hmm. We have an opportunity to set a bar in this district high in that area, and I still have in my head the picture of that kid walking in, and it's problem-solving science time, and I want the curiosity, the energy, you know, all that, and not to, not to lose that.
We won't lose that. We won't lose that. That is at the forefront. Instructional practices won't be lost on these facilities. Mm-hmm. Karen will make sure of that. I mean, she drives it every day, that instructional rigor that she demands throughout this district. That to me, that won't take second place to anything that we do around here. But it's the initial conversation. We'll bring you a lot more information in the weeks and months to come.
So, yeah. Again, to
I'm sorry.
Please. So, what you're saying is we've made a financial decision to invest in these two or three other first option, whatever it was, the year to two or four.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying let's continue the analysis, let's continue the scientific analysis for that, but the architectural design we want to pause on to allow you to vet this a bit more.
It's a good way of putting it, because we really need to look at how are we spending our money. I mean, even if the referendum does not, you know, in this plan considers a referendum, even if the referendum did not pass, with this plan, you would still significantly reduce your reliance on portables. And I think that's the piece that that's most encouraging to me. We may not be, as Erica said, we may not be able to get it all, but we can take a very significant step forward in being able to reduce that while still creating quality space. I'm not saying we're going to drastically reduce our expectations for these classrooms. These are still really good classrooms, good spaces, good size spaces as well that have flexible areas.
So also in our workshop, we also stress community involvement, the other 80%.
Yeah.
I mean, so let's walk ourselves backwards here. We need to have a decision. We need to have our final decision that we want to go down this new plan by December 1st, and so this needs to be vetted, this needs to be talked out. We have 8 meetings to change our direction.
Well, I'd say we have less than that because I'm suspicious of the timeline of getting anything done next summer if we're going to wait 8 meetings.
Yeah, you're going to need, I think you're going to have I would like to see 2 or 3 discussions. At that point, I think you'll be giving staff pretty clear direction one way or the other. The board is leaning, and I would like to be able to, bring a vote for that first project in the beginning of November, because that's the only way you're going to get. And it still follows the board's 3-step process, and I've put in an additional discussion point because this is huge.
It's a self-pressure that you're putting on yourself to put that, because it's going to come to the board and we're going to talk and we're going to vet and we're going to ask a lot of questions. So in November, if that's the deadline we need to hit, I mean, I'm sure your guys will come, ready and fully loaded. So
we'll bring it.
Well, we gotta come.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, I don't make any of these decisions.
Lot of questions, but if we're saying if we want to try this new phase, I mean, there's going to have to be a lot of conversations and communications with not only ourselves, but the administrators, but the other people out in the community to say, this is our phase one. Our phase two is we're doing $10 million ourselves. We think we can do it. Mm-hmm. We want to do it this way. Phase two is we need your helping hand to partnership this possible $35 million, and these are the reasons why. So,
thank you. It's a good summary.
But from what we were doing last meeting, when we approved for the preliminary site testing, mm-hmm. sort of warnings and all that, I mean, from a timing standpoint, yes, this is a pivot, but we still have to get into construction for next summer. We still had to work on a very quick timeline.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you have to change. I mean, those surveys would change.
No, the surveys aren't going to change.
Sorry, not surveys. The work that they would do. Right. Well, the borings would be different. The drawings would be different, right? I mean,
but the first step is survey. The second step is
survey is like a 5-minute.
And they're done. So soil borings are next. So you're still gathering. I mean, maybe you're losing 2 or 3 weeks in your timeline. And we can pick that up with a special meeting if we need to.
Well, I'm suspicious of that 2 or 3 weeks because we were told pretty much if we didn't make a decision, we wouldn't be able to hit next summer in terms of just doing what we were going
to
do.
What was the date we were told to make a decision by?
We were supposed to make a decision in the August-September time frame so that we could hit the dates for Franklin. That was just Franklin only now, not construction at 4 different buildings.
I don't think we were going to get schematics back in September.
No, you were never getting.
Not schematics. I'm talking about the whole process to get through getting something done at Ben Franklin to make these 2 steam rooms.
I don't think we could have approved the funding for Ben Franklin without getting full schematics.
Okay, sorry. Maybe I'm not making myself clear. We were told there was a process to get through to put these STEM labs in. And for us to be able to hit the first milestone, which was to get one at Franklin and was it one other building or just Franklin?
Just Franklin,
that we needed to approve this $300,000 in funding to get that process rolling so that we could hit that date. Right. Now we're saying, time out. We may change, so we got to get all your technical languages, schematics and borings and all that stuff done, right, differently than we would now, so that they can come back and tell us what a timeline might be to hit a date. So I'm very suspicious that if we were just doing one building with a STEM lab, and we were pushing to get this $300,000 approved now. Now we're telling the architects time out on some of that work, so that now we're going to go do four buildings by next summer, or two of the four buildings.
Yeah, we're never doing four.
I just heard us say that this is over a two-year time frame.
It is.
But the first two buildings are next summer.
Weren't the...
So, all I'm saying is that the timeline is tight.
It is.
We can't sit here and not make a decision or feel we have enough information.
I think, you know, to whomever said this, you know, there'll be need to be some separate meetings from our regular office meetings in order to hash this out and bring in the architects and bring in the construction manager and that.
And I do. I apologize for my reflection, my taking the time on it, but I never once felt 100% comfortable. I had to feel good in my heart and my gut, and this feels the whole plan feels good to me, that this is the right place, especially when I started vetting it with other individuals that were saying, yeah, this makes sense.
Well, so, I think you were a good listener at the July meeting, brand new to us in our conversation, but then also even at the board evaluation meeting, as we talked about our needs, interests as board members, you know, relative to, you know, what we're doing. And, you know, I don't think there's any need for an apology. You know, this is what you're hired to do.
Yeah.
Is to come in and bring your point of view, your lens. Yeah. And
I agree. I'd stop apologizing.
I just wish I could have brought it to you sooner. I wish I could have had greater clarity in my brain sooner.
It took you 60 days.
Yeah.
No, Paul and I spoke today, and I told him that I appreciated his fresh look and you know, listening. And certainly there are some on the board that view portables as a priority. This is a tight timeline.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I am very curriculum-driven. So one of the things I said to Paul was if we could do an addition for the portable classrooms, I feel that we should at least try to get a STEM lab in during that addition. You guys know my feeling, right? As a country, we're not very strong in science and technology, engineers, all that work. I've been very curriculum-led, so we've made a lot of commitments to the community around that. We went to a specialization around STEM and literacy, and so I think that's part of what I would like to explore as we move forward with the architects, is how we incorporate that, and if not everywhere, at least one place, so that we could see what it is and how we can use it and move that forward. I'm suspicious of, you know, I mean, we've talked before about borrowing money. You can always go borrow money. I mean, we're a great institution for being able to pay back.
Mm-hmm.
I am very leery of the words, it's not an increase to people's taxes, even though maybe in the technical definition may not be. Somehow we're going to have to pay for this and fund it. We only have certain programs we can cut to do that, right? So we have to understand what we're cutting. Are we cutting special ed? I would hope not. Are we cutting foreign language? I would hope not. Are we cutting...
That's what we would have to bring to you.
What are we cutting, right? So that's a big driver of this in my mind. I've also always felt, I've thrown this out to you guys, that we should, you know, take a school and do it right with some amount. Maybe Lincoln build that second level on the east side or west side, whatever side you guys want to do the school right, put a STEM lab in there, fix the infrastructure so it's right size, and then the community sees what our real vision is, as opposed to, and I'm not saying you're doing this, Paul, right?
I know.
The idea is, as opposed to, you know, putting in four classrooms to take over portables, and they'll be nicer classrooms, but they won't address the other issues of the infrastructure problems that we've talked about and all the other things that come from a curriculum perspective. So, we just have to get over that hurdle. I'm surprised all of a sudden we can get, you know, 16 classrooms for $10 million at four different locations, but for $10 million, so we're going to have to really understand that. Suspicious of our ability to get anything done next year, especially if at least two of the locations, sorry. Mm-hmm. We're doing four in phase one? Two, right?
Two.
Yeah.
And maybe it's down to one, you know, but those are the pieces that we have to have those conversations on. And again, it is, it's...
And then I do worry...
But we have a history of as a district of setting high expectations for any of the construction, any of the work done, and they and it's always come in under time, under budget.
And I mean, just, I'm also leery of just throwing out this $35 million number for a new school. We don't really know what we're doing with it. But, you know, I mean, it just seems, reminiscent of some things we've done in the past that fixate us on a number without enough information. But it's good to have an estimate out there. That's one of the things we need to vet out between now and the next two meetings or three meetings or four meetings or whatever it is.
Any other comments?
Sure. I echo a lot of what John's saying. I think that this is pragmatic. This says, okay, if our priority is let's get rid of portables, then you assume that getting rid of a portable is better than not getting rid of a portable. And so that's what this plan is saying, is that our priority is let's get rid of portables, and if we can't get rid of all of them, that's okay as long as we make some progress and get rid of a few of them. It still doesn't solve the problem with the portables. It doesn't address anything at Hadley. It doesn't address the things that John said with respect to where we think this should go long term. It becomes very pragmatic to say, how do we get rid of four portables, then two portables, then six portables? And you know what? We really don't have a plan to get rid of all the portables at that point. We have some additional phases that can't, we can't get our arms around yet because we don't know what those are, but that's the pivot that I see, because it seemed like the boards before and certainly our discussions in July were, as a board, what's our plan? What's our plan for the whole district, not Lincoln and Franklin and then maybe Churchill afterwards and forget Hadley and let's go down to the next one. We're coming up with a short-term plan, and we're saying, okay, we're going to spend the money in such a way that it's useful in the future, which is exactly how we'd have to do it. That's really good. But it really does stop our planning at that point and say, let's get really pragmatic, let's get rid of some portals. And if that's what we want to do as a board, then I think this plan achieves that. We get rid of some portals. Of course, when we go to do this, we'll be getting rid of portables at a couple of schools and not the other ones. And, you know, there'll be the appropriate price to pay the community for that. And the timeline and who gets to go first and all that sort of stuff. And the idea for the other school, this idea of a magnet school, is one that we talked about, and I think we had mixed feelings on how that would go, but it still doesn't address the problem at Hadley. So we could be in a situation where we get rid of the portables at the elementary school, build another elementary school. Now we have another elementary school. We've done really well at the elementary school. Spent a lot of community money and still don't have a plan for Hadley. So I think that while this is pragmatic, it's not big thinking. It brings us back to how do we get rid of some portables in the short term. And that's really what we're talking about.
And don't get me wrong. I mean, I hope it doesn't sound this way, but I want to get rid of the portables. I'm very curriculum-driven first before portables, but I do want to get rid of them.
Some of what Paul said wasn't just about getting rid of portables. Yeah. That was adding. I like the way you say it, by the way, Paul.
Yeah, I like the way I say it better, too.
Okay. I mean, the flex space and what that does for your curriculum and, you know, presentations and bigger groups and smaller groups. So there is positive in it all. I mean, sometimes baby steps are the way to take care of big problems because... you know, it's not necessarily pilot testing, as John proposed, of doing one school, but at least you're not going out there full-fledged and swinging for a home run when you don't even have the bases loaded. You know, it's nice to get a couple singles and get it done and start making progress instead of just being stalled.
Okay, I think we've heard from everyone. Mm-hmm. I know that there's a fairly aggressive timeline. We're talking about finance at September 23rd meeting, as well as a full board discussion on the same day, and another discussion on October 7th with maybe action on the 28th, which I personally wouldn't enjoy because I'm not going to be here, but if it has to be that way, it has to be. And I, for one, am also very interested in the financing alternatives, and we're going to be able to vet that. And I know there's a lot of all three of our new members are very versed in that, and I'm very interested in what they have to say about that. And as well as this, obviously, this plan is a variation of what we have discussed in the past, and we're going to have a very vigorous discussion on it at the appropriate time. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the new schematics that FGM is apparently going to provide to us, and we'll see where the discussion takes us. Anything else, Paul?
No, that's enough.
Yeah, let's just try to make efforts that not only our school parent audience hears this, but the community hears this.
Yeah.
However, we need to make sure this is done, because it's going to move kind of fast, and we need to hear.
And also, if we are going to take on more bonds, we need to have a conversation of what we, in the way this was written and presented, we don't need voter approval, but we need to decide as a board if we're okay with that. If we're going to go put more debt on ourselves and possibly cut some programs.
You would have to file a petition. You would file a petition, and you would have a public hearing on it. It's not like
that requirement.
Yep.
And I'm sure we can get into much greater detail when
we will bring all that to you.
The recommendations actually presented to us. So
and we'll bring the experts in that field to you as well.
I would suggest we're a little... Sure.
You might. You might be able to extend that one.
Well, now that you guys have shortened the finance, I'm sure you'll get through this. So. And Paul, you know, just again, back to we're implementing something this year. Everybody's focused on that successfully, et cetera, et cetera. Is this next 2 months of trying to get all this stuff done going to distract that or?
No. I mean, Karen has laser-like focus on it. I do as well. I can see a couple things. I can be doing a number of things at one time. That's what you hired me to do. But I also trust Karen immensely to keep the focus and keep me informed. I'm at school still. I'm at schools a number of days already. So I feel like I can move both of these pieces forward from the superintendent's level.
Okay. I think we've got that covered. Board reports. Any committee reports?
We can do finance real quick.
Okay, Drew.
The finance committee meeting earlier today. I'm going to go through the... basically, we had four things that we talked about. I'm going to go through them in order of least discussion to the most discussion. We talked about the amendment to the Lombard Area Property Tax Appeals Consortium Agreement, which you all kind of agree that's a there really wasn't. We looked at that. We talked about the FGM renewal of the contract. And there was a fair amount of discussion on that. We talked about it wasn't on the agenda, but Patrick brought up the question about Title I funding. And again, we had a very rigorous discussion on that. Paul ultimately is our expert on this. And there were some issues and some things, some pitfalls associated with that, and Paul will be providing us with updates on a per meeting basis to try and find out kind of where we're at and how we can address some of those issues. The final thing that we talked about was special education. The cost of outside and internal tuition. And it kind of ties into some of the things that Paul was talking about in terms of, you know, how to right-size some of the spaces and how do you drive programs with fit spaces and kind of where we need to be going. The question was really raised, you know, we're spending all this money outside of our district as an expense for these special education programs. And the finance committee decided that we told Paul to put a report to us and say, were we to bring any of these programs in-house, what would be the cost and what would be the savings in terms of what we're spending on outside tuition. So we've asked Paul, not for the next meeting, but the following meeting, to give us a deliverable on that. And I really think this can tie very, very closely into the things that Paul was talking about, you know, the space issue and how are we going to configure things and how can we drive some of the existing programs or bring some of the programs that are out of the district to bring into the district. So we're in a very preliminary phase on it, but that's for a future meeting. So, and Paul was nice enough to say that he would give us the deliverable in essentially a month. That's it.
Okay. Thanks, Jim. Any other committee reports?
Just a quick update on Team 21. We met on September 5th from 4 to 6 here in the room. Kathy's here. She's one of the parent reps. And Kathy Meyer was also here as well as the other parent rep. Focus of the meeting was on the presentation report due to CIT by contract. They meet on September 19th, and it was around the issue of time and doing time studies and just looking at how time is being used to that requirement to look at potentially adding time to the day. I would say just two takeaways for me. One was this good conversation around the difference between a work day and the student day, and that there's there was some little bit of aha moment, certainly for those of us who are external to the work internally, but also for teachers to be thinking about that. And then also, and I asked this question about numbers, you know, we have students, and I know this is reflected in your discussion around the enrollment report, but the number of ELL students, because that's also a time constraint and an issue in terms of pulling children out of classes in order to get their services, et cetera. At Churchill, we have between 190 and 200 ELL students. And again, this is back to, you know, Common Core learning. At Lincoln, it's about 70. The differentiator there is the lack of experience that many of these students have even being in school. So first, experience being in a classroom setting, et cetera, so all of that transition. But then also, just learning language, et cetera. So some pretty specific differences. So the CIT is continuing. There's a small group that's meeting to put together the recommendation, which will bring brought to CIT on the 19th and then to the board. So that was the work of that day.
Okay. Thanks, Erica. Anyone else? Policy Committee will have its first meeting sometime this week, either Thursday or Friday. So
Thursday. I think we're narrowing in on that.
If we can do that Thursday, it would be great.
Yeah, I think it may work.
Great. Yeah, that'll be fine. Any other matters to be discussed?
I just have a question, and this may have been brought up, but there's an apartment building or something, Bob. I can't remember if you mentioned this, but I noticed it now because it's taller. But it's right on Bloomingdale Road near the Portillo's. Mm-hmm. You know, there's that Bloomingdale apartment building that we have students from Churchill, and then that whole section there. But this is a brand new building. What is it?
It's a senior citizen housing development.
Okay, that's what
we tried to meet with the village of Glendale Heights. They were rather uncooperative regarding developer donation fee. They were supposed to collect a minimum donation. I have not received anything to date.
Okay,
but it's a It's a development designed for those that are 55 and older. And I've gotten some calls on it from citizens, taxpayers here in the area regarding what's intent.
The intent of the building, yeah. Okay, that's what I thought. I couldn't remember. And then the other thing I wanted to mention just briefly, because this is certainly of interest for our district, but 87, I think I mentioned this, is having meetings throughout the month at the four different high schools about their facility plan and you know, some of the same types of conversations around funding and all that. I'm going to go to the one on the 26th, certainly as a parent, because I'm interested, and that's at East. So, you know, if any of us can attend some of those, it's on the District 87 website, and you know, just to listen in and, you know, hear how they're presenting their, you know, position.
Anything else? I just one matter. The PTA schedule, there was a little bit of confusion that Dean and I both had a problem, but it really was just Dean. But now I have my own problem. Ben Franklin PTA, September, Thursday the 19th, I will not be able to make that. So if anyone can be there in my place, if you want to trade for a later meeting, but we can discuss that later or email or whatever. So just wanted everybody to be aware of that. Anything else? Any other matters? Okay, discussion items. Resolution to transfer funds from the Education Fund to the Debt Service Fund. Paul?
You know, I'm going to hand this one over to Bob. This is, you know, this is an annual transfer.
This is something we do annually, and it's for our capitalized leases, and that's the type of equipment that we really are going to pay for over a three-year period, but we intend to keep it for much longer, sometimes as long as 6, 7, or 8 years. We've done this for the past few years. It was a required change with changes that were made in the Illinois Program Accounting Manual for school districts. So we've done it the past few years, and we'll continue to do as long as we have these types of leases.
Any questions or comments? The only question I had was, and I apologize for not asking it, sir, was why is it $318,000? Is that a specific number that we're...
Well, that's the principal and interest. It's right about $317,500. I thought I'd round it up.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Upcoming meetings. September 18th, 2013, special joint meeting of the Boards of Education of School Districts 15, 16, 41, 44, 87, 89, and 93, 6 p.m., Marquardt School District number 15, and that's located at Carroll Stream.
Glendale
Heights.
Okay,
thank you. September 23rd, 2013, Board of Education regular meeting, 7 p.m., here at the Central Services Office. Other matters, any other matters to be considered by the board? Okay, public participation. Is there anyone now that would like to address the board at this time? Amy, were you here earlier when I gave my little spiel as to... Okay, so you're saving me from having to do it again. Great, thank you.
I had no idea that there was going to be the shift in facilities planning tonight, but I want to be the first to actually say thank you to Dr. Borden for listening, because I know that I and other parents in the community, some of whom I think are here tonight, have been encouraging anyone who would listen to us, including Dr. Borden, to take more of this approach, because I think that it makes more sense. And I'll also leave in a little perspective from what I've heard at Team 21. I think that it makes sense because it helps impact the space issues. While it doesn't solve them all, it does make a slight difference. It also, since some of the portables are going to have to go anyway because of the state they're in, knocks that off too. It also, I do think, Mr. Kenwood addresses some curriculum issues, because what I'm hearing a lot of, both inside and outside of Team 21, is the facilities are interfering with the new curriculum. I think they're interfering with the old curriculum, but they're, you know, they're... It's difficult to navigate the new curriculum with the current changes. So, again, while it won't solve it, giving these schools any additional space that we can, as soon as we can, I think will help in the short term. And I think it's part of a long-term plan, and the community sees that the district is putting forth kind of a good faith. We have this $10 million. We know we have a bad history maybe with the community of money. But we're going to use this money to fix some problems now and also look at a bigger plan that's going to help everybody. I think you might get more community support than you would with doing the labs first. And I also think, you know, STEAM curriculum can be delivered without the innovation lab. STEAM curriculum can be delivered anywhere, inside a classroom, outside a classroom, in a parking lot. Are innovation labs great? Yes, they absolutely are. And the flexible space with the additions, I think, is a great idea. But I do think that that should be more, you know, in the third phase as far as the bigger STEAM labs. I think I covered just about everything I had. So, yeah, thank you for being willing to change my mind.
Thanks, Amy.
Thank you.
Anyone else, Maureen? Mrs. Clark, were you here when I gave the information?
I'll keep it brief because I actually was going to say similar to what Amy did, so I won't just repeat everything. But thanks for listening to some of the things I know I've been saying at these meetings, and I think it's good that our district is making space, getting rid of portables, getting all kids in all classrooms, in proper classrooms first. I think that should be our focus. So,
thank you, Stephanie. Anyone else? More? Okay, great. The adjourn to closed session. We have a motion to adjourn to closed session to discuss the appointment.
Motion.
The appointment. Thank you, John. Employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of specific employees of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee or against legal counsel for the district to determine its validity. Mr. Kellen has made the motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Ellis. Maureen, roll call, please.
Mr. Escalante?
Yes.
Mrs. Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. Alger?
Yes.
Mr. Ellis?
Yes.
Mr. Potensky?
Yes.
Mr. Kenwood?
Yes.
Mr. Black?
Yes. Are we taking action when we return to open session? I don't think we are.
No, we are not.
The board will not be taking action in open session when we return. Yeah.